Thanks be to God for your wonderful Son. And it's in His name we come to you today, dear God, saying praise, honor, and glory to your wonderful Son. It could never be soon enough, but I know that you've got a plan. Thank you that we are anxiously awaiting that time we're going to see you. Thank you that there is a desire that we want to behold your wondrous face. Thank you again that you've put this reality into these lives here today. Lord, we're facing a time where, oh, people think it's nuts. People think that, Lord, the coming of the Lord is just a fanciful thinking. But Lord, you're going to show them. And more importantly, you're going to show yourself to us. Now, God, let us just be alive. Let us be waiting. Let us be loving. As we're going to read today, loving that appearing. Let us be ready. Thank you that you've given us these words of encouragement throughout your scripture. Thank you that you've given us your wonderful love. We give it to you this morning, Lord. Turn hearts to look to you. That peace, the perfect peace, is found in you and you alone. We say thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Oh my, oh my. Well, we're back to 2 Timothy today in chapter 4. And we'll begin reading from verse 6. That's 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. And it says, therefore, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Oh, what a wondrous statement of Brother Paul, knowing that he is soon to see Jesus. Henceforth, well, praise God, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. All them also that love his appearing here in this place today. It's applicable now. More than ever, it's applicable now. Now we're continuing with this thought. And today, Lord willing, will be to the final of the three traits of the full overcomer. This crown glory winner. We've read about the one who has fought a good fight. We have read about and rejoiced in the one who has finished my course. And now today, praise God, I have kept the faith. I have kept the faith. And here again, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is reminding us, if perchance we are still not getting it, it's all about faith. It's all about faith. Faith is what pleases God. And the reason faith pleases God is faith comes only by hearing and receiving the Word. And this Word, if you didn't realize it, is His Son. And in His Son, all the fullness of the Godhead dwells. It's all right there. The plan in His Son. It's that simple. And then as we mentioned earlier, when by grace we asked Christ Jesus into our lives, we were given His very own life. And that life now lives only one way. And that life lives by faith. By faith, by faith. Hebrews 11, go back there and read it. It's all by faith. All of those victories, all of those circumstances that seem to be overwhelming in their life. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm telling you, today, there's even greater things that are laid down before you. But also greater trial. The wickedness of this world has waxed worse and worse. Man's knowledge, which is foolishness to God, yet has grown greater and greater and greater. Do you realize the faith that it takes today? Praise the Lord. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. But what grace has been bestowed upon us. What a day of believing. What a day of reward. Praise the Lord. And see, this word goes on to tell us as we go along in our lives. It says, examine yourself. That doesn't mean I examine you. And not for you to examine me. Examine yourself whether ye be in the faith. Daily, moment by moment, by the grace of God. Not a worrisome thing. But is my life adjoining the Word of God? Is my life paralleling the Word of God? Is the Word of God alive and living in me, giving me that abundant life? Or am I as one that says, yes, I am a Christian, but nobody would have known unless I told them? Does Jesus speak through you in His love and His grace and His might and His power? Or has that testimony been lying dormant? But today, I hope by the grace of God, we get challenged here to fight the good fight, to finish my course. And I'm going to tell you, it comes one way. I have kept the faith. I have kept the faith. See, this faith, brothers and sisters, is the faith that is the epitome of the fighter. It's the epitome of the course finisher. If you don't have any faith in your life, you don't have life. Very little. If you have little faith, you have a little life. If you have great faith, I'm going to tell you, you're going to have great life. It's that simple. That's the abundant life that Jesus Christ is calling us to. That's why He's given us the wondrous Holy Spirit. Brother Ty was talking about the necessity of the Holy Spirit in our life. How long has it been, brothers and sisters, since we've been rejoicing with the Lord in the Spirit? It's a wondrous gift. Hallelujah. The gift of the Holy Spirit. The very power of His might. The very way that He takes the things of Christ and He makes them ours. But if I'm not rejoicing in that power, if I'm not in the presence of that joy, my hands are not held out to say, Lord, I want it all. Will You go? Will You come boldly? You're never going to get it unless by His grace we reside in the presence of the throne room, rejoicing with Him. He's mine. Praise God, He's mine. I'm free. I'm accepted. I belong there. That's my place. I have that life. Now, by the grace of God, let's go boldly in there and get it today. Huh? Let's go boldly in there and get it today. Praise the Lord. Now again, this kept faith, brothers and sisters, truly is the lover of His appearing. It's kept faith. That word kept means to guard. It means to watch over. And as I was thinking again, son, as the Lord spoke to me, whom much is given, much is required. I was thinking of those men and women that are over there in the Middle East. They're watching over great things. They can't fall asleep for a moment. Whether it's the ones that are watching over that or the ones that are watching over the great Fort Knox. All of that great gold, all of that empowerment, in a sense, in this worldly thought. It doesn't even reflect a drop in the ocean of this faith that God has enabled us to be able to keep. Praise God. Kept, watched over. Hallelujah. This is the wonderful faith that is the substance and the evidence of His exceeding grace. This Word of God, this faith unlocks the forever glory of God and His precious Son. It's the very blueprint. It's the very title deed to a wedlock that is so divine, that it's going to take forever and the eternities and beyond to even begin. And that's what He's entrusted us with. That's what He's entrusted us with. Do you realize that faith is so simple? It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. It's believing it. It's going to it. This is our wealth. This is our daily drink. This is our daily food. But where do we go? Will you go? But where are you going? You go to the Word of God. That's our faith. That's everything. That's our high tower, our buckler, our shield. You say, well, brother, sometimes I don't even know how to fight. Well, I'll tell you what. You put this sword in your hand and He fights for you. He fights for you. He defends you. He's that faithful. You couldn't fight a thing. You're inadequate. Oh, what's He saying? See, I'm going to approach it as the Word of God is going to approach it. I'm not going to tell you who to hang around. I'm not going to tell you what to think. I'm not going to tell you what to read. All I'm going to tell you is to believe the Word of God. And that'll take care of everything. Brothers and sisters, if we just get our minds and our thoughts upon the Lord. He even said that we could have His very mind. To let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. And yet, where do we go for our thinking? Where are we going for our so-called comfort today? How many different books and readings and all of these things that, as the Word of God told us long time ago, the making of books, there's not going to be any end. And why? Because we're an unsettled people. It's so simple. Tell you what, people ask about a lot of times with me, they said, you know, you were a financier and all those different things. How can I save money? Believe the Word of God. Really? You won't go to the bookstore as often, maybe. Where's he going? I appreciate if something's encouraging you. Don't get me wrong. But make sure it's the meat of the gospel. And I challenge you. Are you feasting on the meat of the gospel? This is a cutting time, brothers and sisters. We're talking about God's very best. I'm set for the defense of it. And I know that the enemy is a very cunning one. And I know he'll come at you in any different way. And if he can rob you out of God's best with this worldly good, he'll do it. He'll rob you from God's best with worldly good feeling. He'll rob you from God's best with worldly good works. There's a good, there's an acceptable, and there's a very perfect will of God. And He's called us into that. And that perfect will of God is to grow up into His Son in all things. To become the very image of His Son. And that is the Word of God. It is that simple. If we'll just settle down and believe Him at His Word and taste and see that the Lord is good, you haven't seen anything yet. But it's our unbelief that's keeping us back, brothers and sisters. It's holding us back from going into the very promises of God, which are exceeding abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think. But yet again and again, we're strategizing and trying to plan out our lives in a different way that we think is going to give us more happiness, more contentment, more joy, or something of that nature. And all of those wasted days and even wasted years that I went down that path because I didn't follow the Word of God. Life's but a vapor. It comes at us real quick. It's here for a moment and it's gone. And you've heard this theme that the Lord's been putting on my heart. Are we going to get through this time and say, I'm glad I did, or I wish I had? And glad I did is going on right now. And it's focused and it's known. And it's daily. Lord, I'm glad I did. I'm glad I applied by Your grace myself today to keep that faith which You've committed to this life. The years, all of the different messages that we've heard, the sermons, the tapes, the CDs, the grace and glories. We are a people without excuse. We've come so far. We talked about finishing that course last week. And God forbid we don't finish. God forbid. And the only thing that'll keep us back from and withhold us is our unbelief. But brothers and sisters, this word kept, let's go on. It's such a mighty word. I think of Jesus Christ as He describes those Philadelphia saints. And praise God, I want to be a Philly saint. How about you? Not a Philly sandwich, but a Philly saint. There we go. I'll wake you up again. Revelation 3 tells us that the full overcomer, the first rank, are represented by these Philadelphia saints. And why? Well, there's a couple sweet things that they kept there. They kept the word, and thou hast kept the word of my patience. It's all about the word of God. It's all about truth. Truth is what's going to preserve you. Truth is what's going to get that day won for you. Praise God. Truth is what's going to sustain you. Truth is going to give you victory by the grace of God. It's all about the Word of God. It was kept. It was cherished. There was nothing wavering because they were standing in faith. And it boils down to nothing less, brothers and sisters, that this kept faith, listen to this, this kept faith is the first love faith. Now, if you know your Bibles at all, there was a group of saints called the Ephesians, the Church of Ephesus. And they're in Revelation as well, too. They had many things, many compliments. The Lord commended them of many things. But He said, I have one thing against you. You left your first love. This is a jealous God. God is not going to be mocked. He's going to marry right. How many times have we heard in this world, well, you know what? She married wrong. Jesus isn't going to marry wrong. He's not. He's going to marry exactly. He's going to marry a true worshiper that worships Him in spirit and in truth. And the reason is because God's looking out for that. You talk about a father that's caring for his son. His father is now looking for that worshiper that worships Him in spirit and in truth. Coming to an age, dads, of maybe looking for a right spouse for your son or your daughter? I hope you are. And I hope these kids today, you say, what are you talking about? You don't know the age of these kids today. You don't understand what they're up against today. I really don't care what they're up against today. Because I know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if I'll start believing God for my life, I'll start living some power, I'll start living some promise, and I'll quit living in defeat. And I'm getting tired of it, brothers and sisters. I really am. Help our unbelief. Start standing. Start being set for the defense of this gospel. Who is greater than God? Is the internet? Is the worldly music? Schools? These teachers? Pray. Just pray. I believe God for my family. Sure, I would like things to be different. But the Lord told me, you know what? The evil of man is going to wax worse and worse. But you know what just so happened to be? He chose this time of the evil waxing worse and worse to take out from it a goodly pearl. So to that I say, I'm going to believe Him. The best is coming. The best is coming out of this age. You shouldn't be despairing. Absolutely not. I've been reading about a Lord that says He can even keep me from falling. Now if I do fall, oh, not only does He just makes me new. So well, He picks me back up. Sure, He picks me. I'm just new every day in Him. But see, I'm starting to learn to believe God for keep me from falling. And that's the faith we need today, brothers and sisters. We don't need to go down that despairing life. Let's get a victory today. Praise the Lord. But see, this first love faith, it's high calling time. It's the first love faith that has testimony. Seems sometimes we forget about that word, don't we? I know all about the Word of God, but I don't have testimony. Well, I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, that bridal saints have great testimony. They do. They have a testimony. And the testimony that she has that is so magnificent and is so simple, she loves to believe in Jesus. She loves to believe Him. She loves to embrace Him and say, I believe You for that, Lord. My son or daughter's not listening to me right now, and this world's pulling hard. I embrace You, Lord, and I believe You for that, Jesus. My husband or my wife is very sick. I embrace You and I believe You for that, Lord Jesus. A bridal saint loves to believe Jesus. There's nothing better. There's nothing sweeter. He's embracing me all the time. I just want to caress His sweet face. And I want to look fully in it and say, I believe You, my wonderful Lord Jesus. Education can't teach you that. Seminaries can't teach you that. The only thing that can happen for you to get to that point, brothers and sisters, is it has to be spiritually discerned. And I just rest and believe that Jesus, You're for me. You're for me. It's faith. It's just faith and faith alone. And to get this started, and the Lord, I think, will encourage me to use this, I guess, is maybe to wake me up and wake you up. I want you to know what love faith is not. Love faith. Love faith. Love faith is not a Christian who sees eternal security, filled with the Holy Spirit, been going to a grace meeting for umpteen years, but yet does not live a testimony. That's not love faith. It's not. And you say, well, how could that be? How could there be one that's kind of like that with such a great cloud of witness? And I believe the Bible simply answers us and it says, because of the whatsoever is not of faith, sin is ruling and reigning in that life. Did you hear that? Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Brother Paul said, just don't let sin reign in your life. It's going to be there. It's going to tempt you. But is it reigning? Is it reigning? Is there something that's coming in front of the first love faith? See, the first love faith, brothers and sisters, sees that it's worth the cost. There's a cost for first love faith. The first love faith sees that there's a worth going without the camp. The first love faith sees that there's a worth in bearing His reproach. The first love faith sees that I've counted it all loss. That the sufferings of this present time aren't even worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in me. Are you persuaded? Are you convinced that this glory that's about us right now and the glory that's about to come is so exceeding abundantly above all that I could ask or think, that it is a light affliction that is but for this moment. Hallelujah. Payday someday, and that glory is going to be here. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. But you see, brothers and sisters, this faith has a testimony. And God wants us to have it. And He's given me a little thought today, how it's evidence, the evidence of faith shines through our life. And He's given me three little thoughts on this. And the first one is faith, true faith, love faith, is thankful. It's thankful. And love faith and first love faith is thankful in all things. It's thankful in everything. Yes, it's thankful for, as they call it, the low-hanging fruit. You ever heard of that thought? The low-hanging fruit. Yeah, everybody loves the low-hanging fruit. That's the easy stuff. All the successes. I want you to be thankful for the successes in your life. But you know what? The successes are not a difficult thing to be thankful for. Let's be honest. Got that new job. Praise the Lord. Huh? Look at that. I got a refund check from the IRS. Praise the Lord. My son or daughter actually listened to me today and said, thank you, Dad. Praise the Lord. And those are wonderful, wonderful things. But wait a second here. This first love faith is also thankful for the most precious fruit. And you know what the most precious fruit is? It's the fruit that only exists in the valley. It's the fruit that's produced in only through great correction. I'm talking about the fruit that is produced only through severe pruning. The times, brothers and sisters, that you find yourself in the greatest of deserts. The time, brothers and sisters, where you're stripped of all your dignity. You ever been there? It was a hard place. Oh, yes, it was. Been there. Yes, I've been there. Been stripped of all my self-esteem. Been there. And you know what the Lord's encouraging me? Why don't you just stay there, son? It's a sweet place. Huh? Oh, but Lord, they're doing it for my evil. Now I'm starting to believe, Lord, it's all been for my good. Oh, as they sat there and they accused you. As they sat there and they said, oh, look at that. Look at those bad things happening to them. What sin did he do? We finally got him now. Oh, God just brought him up so high. Isn't it going to be wonderful to watch him fall? Huh? It's a tough time. Thank God that he's got honey. Thank God that he's got honey bears too. And I told you about my dear honey bear back over there, who saw me walking up these back steps so many years back. Didn't know a thing about it. And all he said to me was those sweet words. Well, son, as far as I know, God's still on the throne. You talk about don't worry, be happy. Isn't that precious? I'll tell you. Happy in Jesus alone. I'm starting to understand this thing. I'm starting to get it. Lord, you love me so that, praise God, you got to make me low. You got to bring me down there. So the very power of Christ can rest upon me. Brother Paul prayed for that. He prayed for that trial. He prayed for that tribulation to come upon his life. And I know we're sitting there saying, yeah, that's great. He was a great, wonderful brother. Appreciate him. But it also says to follow Paul as he followed Christ. He's the crown glory winner. He was our example. He was the one to mark that faith to follow. And we've had those, by the grace of God, in this meeting over the years that we've seen that we're stripped of so many different things. And let me underscore this as well, too. Whether he increases naturally, or whether he decreases you, by the grace of God, still be stripped before him in all things. Do you realize that? You don't need to be poor as a church mouse to win God's best. Oh no. Gave us a sweet thought with Brother Joseph. Whatsoever state therewith to be content. In a prison? As a servant. Accused wrongfully of advancing on a woman. I'm sure it was difficult. Let me tell you something. All those years in jail. Undeserved. But yet, praise God, also second in command of all of Egypt. And you know the consistent thing that was always there. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. I want my life to be like that. See, that's the joy of the Lord that just sustains me. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. See, and that thankfulness turns to the next one. The testimony of victory. Oh, victory. Love to hear that word, don't we? I want you to note something, though. You'll never have a victory until you're thankful. You will never have a victory until you are truly thankful. Victories always begin with these wonderful words, thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Hallelujah. You'll never be pulled through into victory till it's thanks be to God. Now, in these victories, brothers and sisters, very similar to thankfulness. We love to carry about the victories of defeated enemies. How many of us don't like to be walking around with Goliath's head? Look at that wonderful defeated enemy that God did in my life. Praise the Lord for that. Or you think about a great physical healing, maybe a healing of your body. Maybe it was even as dear brother Lazarus brought back right from the dead. And we say, thanks be to God for that wondrous victory. But you know what, brothers and sisters? There's actually greater trophies. Oh, yes, there are. And the greatest trophies, the giant ones, the weight of glory trophies, like we're reading about here in 2 Corinthians on Wednesday evening, is the overcoming of sin and shame victory. I'll give you an example of one. How about the victory of the Bathsheba and Uriah sin that brought forth sweet David, the man after God's very own heart? How about the denying of Christ sin that brought forth the wonderful agape love to be professed out of the sweet lips of Peter? Out of sin and shame. See, we want to see it come out of a different way, don't we? This is God we're talking about. It's got to be His work. It has to glorify and magnify His Son. It's got to be by grace and grace alone. He chooses the impossible. He chooses the overwhelming. And you know what? I'm going to even give you another wonderful praise be to God for a victory out of sin and shame. I can't imagine He might even talk about this. Well, 20-some years ago, we had a split in this church. And we did. Very sad time. Very hurtful time. A time of a lot of sadness. Time of a lot of sadness for a dear pastor that we had. Time of shame for a dear pastor that we had. And I never really told anybody except for a few of a sweet testimony I'll give you. During that time, Brother Hill went out to see his dear friend Johnny Ritzko. I think you'll maybe remember that name. He was the man that the Lord encouraged to send him some money that he had laid up on a shelf. When Brother Hill was ready to give up the ministry, and I don't know if it was back probably in the 50s or so, I don't know the exact dates, but he was ready to pack it in. I don't have any money to feed my kids. I don't have any food to put on the table. Lord, I have come out here from Kansas and Missouri. I've given You my life, and this is what You've given me. And in the midst of a giant snowstorm, the mail wasn't being delivered that day. There was the knock at the door. And there was the letter that was put in his hand. And there was all that money that that sweet man had set up in his cabinet for all those years. And he said, Lord, it's Yours. You tell me where to send it and when. He's right on time. He's right on time. Now, he went out to see that dear brother. And he went there and in despair. Absolutely. And guess who the family thought to send out there? Well, two snotty-nosed kids. David Graham and this young man here in front of you today. So here we got on a plane and we went out there to see him. And they were in a trailer. That's where John Ritzko lived. And there walked in that door. And I will say, I saw my dear grandpa sitting in a chair and his head down, and he didn't expect to see us. And I walked in that trailer and I said, hey, Papa. And he rose his head up and he looked at me and he said, oh, Jess. He said, what you doing here, son? I said, I'm here to get you. And he said, oh, no, son. He said, the people don't want me. And all I know is that the Lord put on my lips to say, well, that may be so, but the Lord wants you. And I saw a countenance change. I saw the weight of the world and the enemy lift. And it was so sweet. He said, you boys go on. I'll see you in a couple days. And then from that, I saw life come out of the ashes. and lived a life, and by the grace of God left it, I believe, sitting in the very midst of a throne. Now, I don't say that to defend anybody. I don't need to defend anybody. Don't need to defend me or anybody else. God isn't mocked. He's not. God validates one thing, and that's the Word. And brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, we've got to get with this thing. It's all about the faithfulness of God if you want a victory in your life. And I know that there's many people that are sitting here today that, I'll tell you what, there's a victory to be had in your failure today. Yes, absolutely. If we'll just seize the very faithfulness of God. See, these are the greatest of testimonies. Not that we wallow in the defeat. No, that's not it. But that you become delivered in it. That truth, it preserves, doesn't it? You can't do anything against it. You really can't. Because it's going to remain forever. It's going to be there. See, it's not about people, brothers and sisters. It's not. It's not about, well, I want to have this person here. Or I want to have that person. We just want the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to rule. And how do we test it? How do we try it? You go back to the Scriptures. What's being preached? Examine yourself whether ye be in the faith. You don't come to this church for me. You don't come to this church because Brother so-and-so is going to preach tonight. You come to this church by the grace of God because the full counsel of God's here. That's it. Now, a lot of people say, well, that's pretty arrogant. It could be somewhere else. Praise be to God if it is. But you know one thing? I know it's here. And if I can get here, why wouldn't I come? That's the thing. But again, we're fighting things. We talked about the race course. There's nothing stopping you. I was talking to my sweet cousin who used to run the 440. He said, I didn't even need to run the marathon to understand that one. Or the 800 or whatever it was. That last 100 yards, I knew that my legs, they weren't there anymore. I couldn't feel them. But they were there. And I had to go back in my heart and my mind and say, you know, that training's there. I've done this many times. I've been there before, and who am I speaking about right there? Jesus Christ. He lived it for you. He lived it for you. And now He's given it to you. Let's go to the last one. We'll wrap it up. I appreciate your patience, but I believe God's working. The faithfulness of God brings us the final one, brothers and sisters. The final testimony is love. We can read this precious, wonderful Scripture and we understand that He has called us to keep the faith. But I want you to understand truly that He is the keeper. And I'm beginning to rely more and more on He's the one that keeps me in the faith. He's the one that draws me to worship. He's the one that draws my heart to come in here. Great obstacles. How many times have we heard this? Hardest church to ever come in, that Living Waters Tabernacle. And you know what? In a way, it should be. In a way, the greatest victories are won through the greatest of trials. Now, I hope we're a loving people. I'd hope that we'd embrace. I'm so thankful to hear the good report, whether it's the neighbors that come in this place or the different things, that you know what? Those people really love the Lord. I told you about that one person that came up to me and said, man, you've got good looking people coming in there. I said, it's just the love of God. See, the love of God makes you pretty, makes you beautiful, really does. Maybe somebody doesn't find you beautiful. Well, I'll tell you what, they're not looking through the eyes of God. And I don't really care what anybody else thinks except Jesus Christ. But see, brothers and sisters, this is the faith in love testimony, the love that keeps me in the faith. His love draws us. Without His love, I realize that I'm nothing. But hallelujah, I am telling you, You want to find yourself. You want to get some self-esteem. Start seeing how beautiful you are in the eyes of God. Absolutely beautiful. And I had to share with you today, as the Lord put on my heart, the Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 10. And we're going to close with this. What a wonderful verse. It says there, I am a wall. Now this is the bride speaking of herself after he said, you know what, honey? You're my beloved and my desire is toward you. Praise God. She realized that. She realized that that was the call to her heart. But she says, I am a wall and my breasts like towers. Then was I in his eyes as one that found favor. Boy, I could go with there a lot of different ways. And I hope kind of it makes you blush. It should make you blush. Because that's how God desires to see you. That's how Jesus Christ desires to see you. This life full of faithful fruit. This sweet woman that's been produced so beautiful. Ravishing the very heart of Christ. Can you imagine ravishing the very heart of Christ that he can't take his eyes off you? In that way. Yet we get so embarrassed about things. I think about how this world is talking to us. That we can't even appreciate. Oh, don't appreciate the human body. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ sure did. He made you. And more importantly, that faith that he wants to establish in you, you can be the most beautiful, the most lovely. Isn't that really what it's about? Quit trying to be lovely to this world, brothers and sisters. Young people, be beautiful to him. It's faith. It's this kept faith. There's no other way that it's ever going to be produced in our life. He can't keep his eyes off her, and you know what I mean. And only kept faith can do this. And it has testimony. And the testimony is thankfulness, it's victory, and it's love. And there's no way that you'll ever attain it but by faith. By faith. By faith, confidence in him and his crown of glory, you're going to win. You'll just win it. All confidence. God, increase our faith. God, help my unbelief. Lord, let me believe you. Amen. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you again. We appreciate your patience with us, Lord. We know that you're speaking to us in such a sweet and a small voice at this time, but let it speak so loudly to us. That call, that wondrous call to us, cause it to make us say, I will go. Lord, what an invitation that we have to your wondrous high calling. Help us to believe, help us to commit it to you. And God, by your grace, enable us to treasure, to keep, to hold, to watch over this wondrous faith that you have committed to us. In Jesus' name, amen.